everyone. Welcome back to Paper Tray Radio. This is Erin Lincoln, and I'm your podcast hostess. Today is May 7th, 2011, and this is Paper Tray Radio episode number 7. And most importantly, tomorrow is Mother's Day for all you moms out there. I'm hoping that some of you get a nice little box of PTI goodness from your hubby and kids, but more importantly than that, a few hours of peace and quiet to enjoy them. It's funny, when I was a little younger, I don't want to say I'm old here, but maybe before kids, a gift for me was the most exciting when it was something tangible and material. And I realized my perspective has changed on that a couple weeks ago when my husband walked in through the garage door and told me he had just cleaned and vacuumed my car. Honestly, kisses rained down on the man's cheeks, which is really what he wanted, because it was one of the nicest things he could have done for me then and there. And that was just some time and effort for something for me. I can go buy anything I want, reasonably speaking. But a little time and something checked off my list was very helpful. So I'm very much hoping that you all get something similar, a little me time, some chores crossed off your list for you, or just some time to relax tomorrow, because as moms, you definitely deserve it. Okay, today's episode. We're going to talk about our discussion question from last week about being labeled a crafty person and how positively and sometimes negatively that has affected your life. I've got a nice, long, chatty interview with sweetheart Dawn McVeigh, and we've got two questions from our listeners that will be answered by customer service guru and Gal Friday Jennifer Ellefson and design team member Melissa Phillips. Let's go ahead and get a few listeners on the line to talk about being creative.
Hi, Erin. I was just listening to podcast number 6, and I got a good chuckle out of your question for the week. I am the crafty person on my school staff. I'm a teacher at an elementary school in Ontario, Canada, and I got into card crafting about 4 years ago and never really made much of a big deal out of it. But 1 year, my girlfriend was celebrating her 30th birthday, and so I kind of went all out with a card and packaging for her gift and, you know, did the whole nine yards. And people on my staff were completely and utterly shocked that I was doing this and hadn't really told anybody about it. So now I am the go-to girl on staff whenever somebody needs a Mother's Day card, a Father's Day card, a birthday card, a wedding card, a baby card. I'm teaching on a very young staff, and so we've got weddings and babies and all kinds of things happening at school. And now I'm the go-to girl for those kinds of crafty projects. Your other question about, you know, do you ever get that sly comment about, oh, you're the crafty one? Yeah, I've had that happen before, and I think in some small part it's a little bit of jealousy, either that I have the time to pour into something like paper crafting or that I sort of have that artsy side to me. The comment that sticks out in my mind was somebody who made a comment to the effect of, well, isn't it nice that you have that much free time that, you know, you can make all of these handmade projects, kind of the implication that I don't have anything better to do with my time or that I'm not busy enough teaching that I have time to go down into my craft room and create. But I just sort of smiled and said, well, you know what, I make time for the things that are important to me, and paper crafting is how I express myself artistically. So anyway, those are the answers to your questions, and I'm really, really enjoying the podcasts. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Hi, this is Marlena from Pennsylvania. I see that your next discussion will be, have you ever been labeled the creative friend or sister, and it's been a positive influence? And on the other note, has it been negative? And for the most part, it has been positive, thank God, and that's been very encouraging for me. It's helped really build me up as a crafter and as a person. But there are times that it is a negative effect. And how I deal with it is, first, I might go to my private room and I'll pray about it, I'll cry about it, I'll discuss it with my husband. But what it comes down to is really I've learned is who to trust with my heart and with my craft. I've realized that those that love me and build me up are the ones that are going to give me a good feedback, regardless of whether it really is good or not. It is good to get constructive criticism, but how it's given makes a big difference. But those that don't know me or maybe feel threatened by me are definitely going to give me a negative response. And there's times I myself have maybe tried to sound positive, tried to sound like I was giving a compliment. And then when I've thought back on the situation and heard my voice and how I said it, I realized I was not being truthful. I was trying to appear like I was building the person up, but really I might have felt jealousy or, you know, been threatened. So finally, I just wanted to add that that's where I've realized I need to have forgiveness in my life, and I have to move on and try to look to things that will encourage me, look to God to encourage me, and learn from it. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Debbie, and I'm calling in from Marrowstone Island in the Pacific Northwest in response to your questions about being a creative person. I'd like to say that anyone who knows me on a personal level does label me as a creative or a crafty person, and for the most part, my creations are usually positively received. My parents, my husband, my in-laws are all very supportive and seem to really like the things that I make them. My mother-in-law in particular goes gaga over my cards, and I can thank the Paper Tray Ink designers for all of their inspiration. The youngsters in the family also really enjoy spending time with me in my studio. They each seem to enjoy different mediums. Some like stamping, others like sewing and such, but all boys and girls alike enjoy the time where their imaginations are sparked and nurtured and amazing little treasures are created with just a little bit of guidance from me. It makes me so happy when they are finished with a project and their little faces are beaming with pride. You also asked if I received a less than positive response, and I have to admit that this is also a yes. Generally, the negative responses have come from younger people who haven't been exposed to arts and crafts and can't appreciate the creative process and the unique output made just for them. And how do I deal with the less than positive response? Well, I've learned to give gift certificates instead. Again, I want to thank the Paper Tray Ink team for all of their inspiration and the many forums offered for us creative folk. I'm really enjoying the radio episodes, and keep them coming. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm responding to Aaron's question about whether you become known as being artsy and how that's affected your life. My name is Sarah Alcock, and I live in Bolingbrook, Illinois. And I have become known among my family and friends as being artsy, crafty, whatever, to the point that a couple years ago at Halloween, when at work we decided to wear T-shirts, you know, designating us as, you know, the various characters from Snow White, and we had one too many people, you know, to be elves, they decided that I would be the eighth elf known as Artsy. It was like, okay, I guess that's a good thing. And every once in a while, I do run into people who think, oh my gosh, you're one of those people. You know, but for the most part, my family and friends really appreciate it. You know, at work, I'm always asked, could you make a birthday card for so-and-so? You know, their birthday's next week. I haven't sent a store-bought card in years. I mean, we're talking 12 years or something. But anyways, I just wanted to answer Aaron's question that I think it's a good thing when you're known as being the artsy, crafty person in your group. All right. Thanks a lot, and I'm really enjoying your radio shows. Bye-bye.
Hi, I am Colleen Folker from Westland, Oregon, and I am calling in to answer the question for this next radio station question, that have you been labeled the crafty person, and how has it affected my relationship? And I am known as a crafty person in my Bible study group. It started with maybe 20 to 30 later ladies, and today it's closer to 50. I guess it started several years ago when I would make a gift to each lady, a little treat for each of the seasonal holidays, like Thanksgiving, Halloween, Valentine's, and Easter, etc. And I would set the little treat on each person's chair in a circle, And it is always a couple pieces of dark chocolate. That was very important. And the leader would always make an announcement that this little gift was for me. But today, there's no announcement. Everyone knows that it's for me. And as soon as they see it on the chair, they come up and I get personal hugs and thank yous from everyone. The other thing I've done is helped with the design of a Mother's Day luncheon that we have every year. I help with invitations and party favors for maybe 200 ladies that come to the luncheon. And we'll get together in small groups, and I help cut and score and teach them how to do all that and make bows, and we have a great time. And when there's baby showers for any of the young moms in our a Bible study, I'm always the one who makes the handmade boxes that the little gifts are in, or a bag, or the diaper cake, and everyone always knows that that gift is from me. So that's all I wanted to say, and I want to thank you very much for Paper Tray Radio Show and for the opportunity to answer the question this week. Have a great day.
There you have it. Lots of thoughts on the topic. I've said it before, and you'll just have to humor me again as I say it now. I so very much enjoy your voices coming over the internet to participate in this. It's like you are right here with me in my office chatting away, and I so enjoy what you have to say. I would have to agree with everyone about how having this hobby can enrich your life and the lives of others. It really makes me smile to think of the support and the personal thank yous and hugs some of you have received due to just sharing something you are passionate about. I remember a friend once telling me about this book on love languages. Basically, and pardon me if I got this wrong, it's been a while, sharing something that is so personal to you, like this hobby, with other people is akin to trusting people with your heart. It makes you vulnerable to openly share that about yourself. And the ones you are most likely to do that for are those people who you love and care for. And that's why it's so great to hear that it's being appreciated. Our love language as a group of hobbyists is homemade paper crafted things. And naturally, you know, there's the flip side of this as well. When you open yourself up to people and make yourself vulnerable in this way, not only are you loving, but some people might judge you for it. But like a few of you said, it's them, not us. Open your hearts and share what you love. It doesn't get any more real and true than that, and that's what I always strive for. Okay, I'm feeling like things are getting a little too heavy around here. How about a fun and lighthearted question for the next podcast? One of the things I love about having and building a stamp collection is the fun combinations I can find between stamp sets. Let me think of an example. Off the top of my head, because I just made it, I teamed up some of the rounded rectangle stamps from Miley's Modern Basics with a whale sentiment from Dawn's new release this month. Two rounded rectangles from Modern Basics look like a stylish rendering of a whale tail, so the two worked well together. You'll see my card on the countdown very soon. For another example, the Take 3 series and one of the fillable frames dies. The stamp fits nicely in the frame. These are just some serendipitous discoveries on the part of stampers. The stamps weren't, and dies, or stamps and stamps weren't made to go together. And it is like hitting the creative jackpot when you find two things that work so well. In your experience, what has given you the creative thrill of discovery when you have put two or more stamps together? Give me examples. Not only do I want to hear, other people will be rushing to their stamp drawers to try them out themselves. Call into our Google Voice account at 301-799-8338 and leave me a message. You might be featured in our next podcast and be given a chance to win a stamp set of your choice. Now it's time to see who we have on the interview line today. It just happens to be design phenom Dawn McVay. This girl is one of PTI's most prolific designers. It would be an exception to have a release come and go without at least one or two new products coming out with her name on them. It all started in 2009 with her first release, Damas Designs, and she's been going strong ever since. We're going to talk to her about how she keeps the ideas rolling, what she thinks of being a designer, and her feelings on working from home with this new career. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you. This is the first time Dawn and I have ever talked, and I'm really excited to get to know her because I think she's a really super girl. So, yay, Dawn, we're on the phone.
I can't wait. This will be fun.
All right, so first question, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
How did you get started designing stamps for PTI?
Well, it's actually kind of a funny story because it all started back when I discovered that Nicole Hetty, owner of Paper Tray, was going to be coming to our local stamping store here in town. This was back when she still worked for Papercrafts magazine, and they were sending her out for World Card Making Day to teach a class at my local stamping store. The store here in town won this prize of having Nicole come and teach a class. And when I got the email from the store, I literally freaked out. Oh my gosh, Nicole Hetty is coming to my town.
So oh, yay.
I called the store, and the class was already sold out. Big shocker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to make a very long story short, I begged and pleaded and said if anything opens up, if somebody cancels, I'd love to come. And they sent me an email the next day and said, we had a cancellation, the spot's yours, we need your money. So I paid the $20 to go to the class, met Nicole, we totally hit it off and just had a great time at the class. And that's how we started talking about the design team, and that's how then eventually I became one of the design team members. And then from there, every design team member has the option to become a stamp designer if they'd like to. Obviously, that doesn't work for everybody because it involves investing in a couple of expensive computer programs. And more importantly than that, then you have the major time investment of actually learning those programs. It's not a small undertaking by any stretch, and certainly every design team member has to look at their own schedule and their own lifestyle and, you know, their kids and their family, and it's not for everybody because not everybody has the time to devote to it, and I totally get that. But for me, not having any kids at home, it just felt like it was something that I wanted to pursue, so I bought the programs and started learning, and there's a whole lot of trial and error involved. You know, you have an idea in your head, and the main thing is you just have to figure out how do I transmit this idea in my head to the computer screen. And so that was a lot of my learning process, was just basically problem solving. Like, here's what I want to do. Now, how do I make that happen?
Do you find a lot of satisfaction in the problem solving process?
There is a level of satisfaction after all of the frustration.
Oh, yeah, there is some frustration.
When you can't figure it out and you're on the phone, you know, with Nicole or one of the other designers going, how do you do this? How do I figure it out? So there's so much that I don't know still. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to learn for certain. But, yes, it's been very rewarding. I'm so, so glad that I made the decision to start designing stamps, because I can't tell you how rewarding and fulfilling it is once those stamp sets come to life and other people besides me are able to use them and other people see the images or the sentiments and they fall in love with them and they start using them on their own projects. I can't tell you how happy it makes me. It's very rewarding.
Do you get a little thrill when you open up a paper crafting magazine and you spot something that you did?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It must be like a treasure hunt.
It is. It's so fun. Especially the signature sets when people use stamps that are my handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything more personal than your actual handwriting. So it still always catches me by surprise every time I see one in a magazine that's got my handwriting on it. It's pretty fun.
It's got to be pretty cool. What was your background before this all started for you?
I had no design background whatsoever.
You mean there's hope for me?
There's hope for everyone. I had none. I've always been a crafty girl. I get that from my mother. But I have no formal training. I worked in an office before doing nothing creative. So, yeah, this by far is the most fulfilling job I've ever had, because I get to do something that I love. I get to be creative every day in one capacity or another. Yeah, it's great. But no formal training at all.
Is there any going back to the office? Are you definitely on the
path? Oh, no. Yes. If there's one thing I'm certain of, it's that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how long I'll be able to keep doing this. As long as Paper Tray will have me, I'm here for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's no going back for me.
And everyone else seems to love it because you seem to be so prolific. Where do you get all your ideas? Because you have multiple things coming out every month. I don't think there's a month that's gone by without at least one Dawn McVeigh thing in a release. I mean, that's
There have just been a couple months like that, and it's very weird to not be a part of the countdown now. I love it so much that I sort of feel like a slacker when I don't have one of my own products coming out. But
oh, you are so not a slacker. Don't worry about that.
As to the inspiration question, inspiration is everywhere. When Bart and I travel, I'm always on the lookout for things that will inspire me. When I'm out shopping, when I'm browsing online, even when I'm in the garden or just my own paper crafting needs and wishes. You know, I'm sitting here making a card and I'm thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I had fill in the blank?
Mm-hmm.
That's how ideas happen sometimes. The Aloha stamp set came about after we got back from a trip to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And Delightful Dahlia came about because we had dahlias in our backyard one year. We planted the most gorgeous dahlias, and I fell in love with them and thought they'd make a perfect stamp set. So inspiration is everywhere.
You
just got to be on the lookout for it. We're getting ready to go back to Europe in a few weeks, so who knows what'll be next.
Travel stamps. Some coat of arms.
Exactly.
Maybe this could be the Royal Wedding 2011 edition.
There you go.
Dawn McVeigh. Do you think you can illustrate Prince William for us?
I'll give it to do. Maybe the dress. Maybe I could do the dress.
The dress is awesome. Okay, so what's your favorite set to design, type of set? Because you do backgrounds and sentiment stamps and image sets. I mean, you really, and not to mention dies and impression plates across the board, what's your favorite thing to do?
Probably backgrounds or just other basics that I know people are going to come back to over and over again. There's always a time and a place for a really specific set like Aloha that's mm-hmm. a Hawaii theme. You know, that appeals to a certain small group of stampers. It's certainly not something that everybody's going to go to again and again and again, and I understand that. But for me, the most fulfilling ones, the most fun sets to design are the ones that, in my head, at the very beginning of the process, I already know this is going to be something that people are going to want to use over and over, like mm-hmm. the newsprint set or the wood grain or the sheet music. Excuse me. Those are all sets that you kind of know right from the get-go that it's something that I feel like I would use over and over and over, and I think there are a lot of people out there that stamp similarly to me in terms of just what we use every day, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That and things like the damask set was really fun. The doilies, again, a lot of detail work for sure. But when you know that it's something that people are going to reach for often, it makes it a little more fun to put the work into it in the beginning, you know?
Right. Any stamp sets surprise you with how popular they ended up being?
Definitely damask designs, just because it was the very first set, and in the beginning, mm-hmm. when everything is so unknown, you just don't know what to expect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was so, so nervous
before that
set released, just because you don't know, how's it going to do? How will it be received? What will people think? You know, in the beginning, you start to design a stamp set, and there are times, just because of scheduling and the way it works out, that some of the sets, it may be a year before
mm-hmm.
it actually becomes a reality. And so you've been looking at it on the computer over and over and over and over until you're sick of it for a year. But in the end, it's like your baby. You're putting your baby out there for the whole world to see, and you hope that everyone will love your baby as much as you do, but you don't know if they will, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Damask, that was definitely a surprise that it was as well-received as it was. Scattered Sours was another one that...
Oh, I love Scattered Sours.
...turned out to be really popular.
Those little umbrellas are so cute. And you know, we're all hoping for a dye.
I have heard that. I have heard that. We'll see what's coming. You never can tell.
You get on that. I'd lost her bet. So into dyes, you've been designing dyes too lately, especially the Edgers dyes, and there's been a couple impression plates. Are you enjoying that process, or is it just totally different for you?
No, it's very fun because, let's face it, a great stamp set is wonderful, but a great stamp set with a perfect coordinating die is even better.
I got on the design team the very first month the dies were released. I was like, thank goodness, because I would be broke because that would have been, it would have killed me because the dies and the stamps together, I mean, I'm sold. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. I am yours.
Yeah. It's the perfect combo.
It is. It's perfect. It makes everybody so happy. And now everybody wants dies with stamps. And I don't blame y'all one bit. I want them too. Bring them on. Do you like the Edgers?
Yeah, they're really fun.
They're a lot of fun. The Edgers dies are brilliant. You came up with that idea.
That was, I have to give credit to Nicole. That was a bit of a collaboration. We had talked at length about how we might be able to make those a possibility. And Nicole is the one who figured out how to make it work with
the guard. There's like a cutting
guard.
Yeah,
the paper guard that the paper snugs up against you. That was Nicole's brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, the edges are really fun. It's really, it's an easy thing when you're designing a stamp set to see what dyes would make the set better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really fun to just try and come up with dyes randomly, you know,
yeah,
don't necessarily coordinate. Like the rickrack die was a really, really fun die to make because you're thinking, this doesn't, you know, it's not like it's going to coordinate with a specific stamp set, but it's going to go with every stamp set.
It's a basic.
Yeah, so those are really fun, too. Those, I mean, I guess that's kind of along the same lines of the edgers, really, just dies that can be used with a wide variety of projects.
So what's your favorite overall stamp set that you've designed? Or was that the mass design? I think that's the one that surprised you the most. Is that your favorite as well?
I don't know what my favorite would. My favorite that I have designed would probably be, Background Basics Wood Grain, or maybe the newsprint. The newsprint was really fun. Although, you see how undecisive I am about this.
Well, who can pick a favorite child, right?
Exactly. The signature sets are really fun, too, because, like I said, that's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
There may be 50 damask stamp sets out there, but there's only one that's my handwriting or one series or whatever. You know what I mean? That's not something that is duplicated. So that feels like it's really right up there with my favorites. Although, if I'm completely honest, my favorite stamp sets, more often than not, are not the ones that I designed.
Which ones are your favorites?
I have about 18 favorites, actually, that sit on my desk at all times. Occasionally, one will have to move when a new favorite comes to town, but I'm sitting here looking through the collection, and they're almost all sets that Nicole designed. Her style is just so classic and clean and crisp, and it just, I don't know, it just appeals to me. Obviously, of that group that never leaves my desk are like the Matt Stack collection sets. They're just perfect, and you can use them on so many things. So those tend to be my favorites, the ones that I can get the most mileage out of.
I have a favorite shelf, too, that I'm always getting into. And you're right, you trade them in and out. But I'm actually full up on my favorite shelf. I think I might need a second one at this point. But I definitely reach for those all the time. And I have Label Basics and what else do I have there? All the heart prints, the star prints, the leaf prints, all those really basic ones that are so versatile but very well done. So I'm totally on the same boat, in the same boat with you on that one. So
like turning a new leaf.
Turning a new leaf
is awesome because you can use it with every flower that you ever put on a card, you know. So, and
we are very happy.
Too.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
That one has been on my desk for probably 2 years now.
It's never been put away. Ever. It's permanent. We should gild it in gold.
Exactly.
So how do you like working at home?
I love it. A thousand times over, I love it. I have to say, though, that I would not have necessarily thought that would be the case 2 years ago. It's been almost 2 years now that I got laid off. I worked in an office, the same office that my husband worked in, and I had worked there almost 10 years. That's the place that we'd met, and so we rode to work together every day. We rode home together every day. We would, you know, I could walk past his office or call him on the intercom anytime I had some random thought that I wanted to tell him about. And, you know, that obviously that doesn't work for everybody, but it really worked for us. We loved it. So when I got laid off, obviously there's the panic of, oh, my gosh, now we don't have my income. But even bigger than that for me was just, even if I get another job and replace the income, I don't get to work with my husband anymore, and we really loved it. So it was a major, major adjustment. But I can say now, almost 2 years later, that that layoff clearly was part of God's plan for my life. And I feel so incredibly blessed that I get to work from a place that I love. I love it at home. I just love being here. We've worked hard to make it feel like a place that we want to spend time. And I love that I get to be creative and do a job that I love every day. And ultimately, I feel overwhelmingly grateful. Grateful for the blessings that God's provided in my life. Grateful for the opportunity that Nicole and Jane and Julie have given me to be able to do this job that I love every day, and extremely grateful to every customer out there who's ever bought a Raspberry Sweet product, because without all of those pieces coming together and falling into place, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. And so ultimately, I'm just really, really grateful. Yes, I love it from home.
So does absence make the heart grow fonder? I mean, you're not seeing your husband as much, but when he gets home, is it...
Definitely. Definitely. And you know what? Let's face it, there is always internet and texting and phone calls. It's not like I can't talk to him all day whenever I want anyway. It's just, it was just the idea of not being able to see his happy little face every day, every time I wanted to, you know? So, but yes, once we got over that adjustment, and it, I mean, it was a big adjustment for him too. He said that, you know, it was hard for him to walk past my empty desk every day.
Oh,
you know,
I
the office, they were just downsizing, and they laid off a few of us at a time, and so it was hard for both of us. But yes, we definitely enjoy the weekends. I enjoy my weekends for a completely different reason now. Before, you know, I couldn't wait for the work week to end so that the weekend was here. Now, even though I love what I do during the work week, I really look forward to just that time that I get with Bart on the weekends. So, I mean, obviously I see him every night, but you know what I mean? The weekends are fun for a completely different reason now.
That's good. Now, you mentioned the name of your your line, which was Raspberry Sweet, and a question popped in my head randomly. How did you come up with that name? Why is it significant to you?
If you knew the story, well, I'll tell you the story of the Raspberry Sweet name. It is rather comical, actually.
Oh, good. We like comical stories on the podcast.
You may think, oh, that this Raspberry Sweet name is going to hold some major, major significance, and it was like the first name that I ever thought of, and it's just not that dreamy and romantic of a story.
Oh, really?
When it comes right down to it, you need a name that not everybody else out there is using, and as it would turn out, it's kind of difficult to find a name that isn't already being used all over the internet. So in the course of trying to find a name that was not already associated with some domain or some website, I went through 50 million name possibilities. I knew that I wanted something to do with my favorite color being that bright sort of fuchsia pink. Mm-hmm. Obviously, fuchsia is not a great word for your product line name.
No, you know, so. I think you're right. It's a weird, it's an awkward word, fuchsia.
Nobody knows how to spell it, for one thing, so nobody would ever be able to find me in a Google search. That was how the raspberry part came about, and then it was just a matter of finding the perfect word to pair with raspberry, and mm-hmm. eventually we landed. This involved all of my family. Both sides of our family contributed many suggestions, and in the end, we ended up with sweet, spelled S-U-I-T-E, sort of as a play on words. Obviously, raspberry sweet
right.
is just sweet sounding. But the sweet, S-U-I-T-E, sort of was a bit of a nod to our
design.
Travel. Bart and I love to travel, and, you know, sweet makes you think of hotels and travel, and so that's mm-hmm. how it came about.
And the rest is history. Well, thanks for talking to me, Dawn. We need a meet up. We need to talk some more, because
we definitely do.
You're highly entertaining. I have lots of questions for you. Maybe we'll get you on the podcast again in a couple months.
That sounds good. This has been really fun, Erin.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Moving on to our question and answer period, which we have on every podcast. You call into our Google Voice account with your questions for our stamp designers, Nicole, our design team members, or Jennifer, our customer service person, and I forward those out, and we get audio responses from those people. It's a lot of fun, and I always learn a lot. So today, because we had that extra long interview with Dawn, we only have two questions, so let's just go to the phones and get right to it.
Hi, my name is Wendy Stamey. I'm from North Carolina, and I was calling in with a question for either Nicole or any of the design team members concerning the paper tray dies. I love these dies. I use them all the time, but I have noticed that on some of the dies, they kind of leave like a metallic residue, especially on white cardstock. And I was wondering, is there anything that you guys do maybe to clean those dies, or if you've had that happen to you, or what you do to take care of that. But anyway, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Jennifer Ellison, and in regards to your question about dies, there have been isolated incidents where there is a metallic finish coming off of the dies, and we've spoken with the manufacturer about that, and it seems like maybe one or two slip through once in a while without being properly cured. There's a couple ways that you can go about getting that metallic residue off, and one of which, and it's my personal favorite, is to use a kneaded rubber eraser. It's just something that I have on hand for my colored pencils, but it seems to take it off very well. I've not had any problems with using the erasers on those. The other thing you can do is some people have been scrubbing them, and we've also found that this is something that goes away as you use the dye more. Because it is isolated incidences, we don't really see a consistent way to solve this. We've been accumulating ideas and what works for different people, and there is actually a thread on our message board about it as well. As always, if you have any problems with your dyes, they do have a lifetime guarantee, so you can just contact me at customerservice@papertrayinc.com, and we can work on solving your problem. Thanks so much for your question, and as always, thanks for calling into Paper Tray Radio. Bye.
Hello, my name is Deanne Carter, and I am from Goshen, Indiana. And the question I have for this month, or for this 2 weeks, is I have a lot of paper tray ink stamps, and I absolutely love my stamps. But how do you make sure you get the most use out of your stamps? Sometimes I find that when I go back through my collection, there are stamp sets I haven't used yet. Do you leave them out maybe until you've used them a few times and then maybe put them in with the rest of your stamps? Or do you – I know some stamps are seasonal, so of course if it's not this season, you're probably not going to use them yet. But I love the stamps, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting the most use out of them. So any suggestions will be very helpful. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, this is Melissa Phillips, and this message is in response to Deanne's question about how to get the most use out of your paper tray ink stamps. And I personally have found that every month I select probably about 8 sets that maybe are older sets, and I just set them off to the side of my table, and then I grab for them throughout that month, and that way I'm using sets that I haven't for quite some time, and then I repeat the same process the next month. So each month I'm kind of digging up older ones. Some are new. I have them in no particular order. I have all different themes mixed in, baby and everyday. Anyway, it's really helped me lately just get using stamp sets that I love but that do kind of get shuffled to the back. So I hope that works. Give it a try. Select a few every month and just set them out until the next month and grab some new ones. I find it to be really fun and inspiring. Thank you. Bye.
That about wraps it up for me today. Podcast 7, taking care of a little business. We have to pick our winner from our participants today in our podcast for a stamp set of the lady's choosing. We have 7 participants. We have Miss Ontario, Canada. She didn't leave us a name, but she sounds like a beauty queen, so we're going to roll with it. Marlena, Debbie, Sarah, Colleen, Mindy, and Deanne. I assign you each a number, and I plug them into a random number generator, and today's lucky winner is Debbie. So Debbie, please email our customer service and let us know what you'd like us to send out to you. Enjoy it. For the rest of you, please call into our Google Voice account at 301-799-8338 with either your answers to our discussion question about fun stamp combination discoveries or questions for our Q&A segment, which we just did. All right, I look forward to talking to you again on Saturday, May 21st for podcast number 8. Y'all have a happy Mother's Day and enjoy these first few weeks of spring. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.